The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday, March 14th, 2024. Another beautiful day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Sunny, 80 degrees. You couldn't draw it up any better. This is the Thursday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Busy show today. We're going to have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network in this first hour, as we always do. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will join us as well coming up in hour number two. We've got to recap the SEC tournament games from last night. Also got to talk about the barn burner going on right now over in Bridgestone Arena up in Nashville between LSU and Mississippi State. Preview the other games coming up and a whole lot more. But very special treat for you guys as we get underway in this Thursday edition of On the Line. Reason we're on a couple of minutes early is we're joined by Auburn basketball center Dylan Cardwell live from Nashville for Tiger Takes. He's on with Bill and Dan on Thursdays in the afternoon. But with that crazy schedule that he has, we're able to get him on right now. Dylan, what's up, man? Hope you're doing well. Appreciate your time today.
What's going on? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. How was the trip for everybody up to Nashville?
Pretty cool. We had a great dinner last night at Fleming's, you know, and great steak. Had fun.
All right, man. And very important question. How do you get that steak cooked?
I get it medium. Sometimes I get medium rare just to see how it tastes, but mostly medium.
Okay. I can handle that. That's good. That's the right answer. Nicely done. Yep. Well, hey, we're excited to talk to you today. Auburn fans are excited to watch you guys play in the SEC tournament. First game coming up tomorrow, and we've got just a few minutes with you because you guys are going to be heading over to Bridgestone Arena to do a little scouting between Arkansas and South Carolina. What'd you think about the Hogs getting that win last night?
Yeah, you know, Vanderbilt played very well. Both teams played very well. But obviously, Arkansas is a very talented team, very talented players. And they have a great role player. They have great everything. So they always peak in March. So it'll be an interesting matchup for them going to today's game.
In the SEC tournament, I mean, it's just so much fun. It's a really exciting week in Nashville. Games are just going all day long. Starting today, you got four today, four tomorrow, and then getting into the semifinals on Saturday. What do you enjoy about a week like this in the SEC tournament? Getting out of Auburn, going up, everybody's in the same town, in the same building. What do you like about the SEC tournament, Dylan?
Yeah, what I like about it, it just reminds me of, like, AAU. And it just reminds me of being a kid again and, you know, playing in these, like, the Peace Jam or playing in the EYBL sessions. You know, everybody you know is here. And it's, like, pretty much survival of the fittest. And it's tournament style, AAU style, every day. You're playing every day. And it just reminds me of being a kid again, you know?
Yeah, and as well as you know, and most Auburn people know, Nashville has been claimed and really has grown into Auburn of the North because of so many Auburn fans that live in Nashville and Nashville Metro, and then so many fans are able to drive from Auburn, from Georgia, from Birmingham. So I expect there to be a lot of Auburn fans there this week, Dylan, to watch you and your team.
Yeah, me as well.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of them. And so you're going to scout the game between you between South Carolina and Arkansas. Anything that you and this team are looking for in particular when you're watching this game coming up in just about 30 minutes or so?
I'm looking for really grit and physicality. That's what it comes down to these last couple of games. Obviously, it comes down to who's going to make shots, who's going to make plays, but it's all about who wants it more in these tournament-style games, especially going into March. So you kind of see people playing more desperate. I'm looking for the most desperate team because we have to be the most desperate team from here on out, you know?
Yeah, Yeah, and, you know, this is, for a lot of these teams in Nashville, it's win or go home. Their season rides on these games. You guys aren't necessarily in that category, but some of these teams, like Arkansas, I mean, they're not going to make the NCAA tournament, so a run here could get them into it. I want to look back on this regular season. You got the win over Georgia on the final day. You had everybody going through senior day. What was everything like for you and this team on that final regular season game down in Neville Arena?
Just didn't feel like it was the end. You know, just didn't feel like it was the end of the season for real. I don't know why. I feel like we're in like February or January. It does not feel like March. So we got to turn that urgency on. Especially just for myself, it just didn't feel like it was the last game we will play in Neville. You know what I'm saying? This year's a team. So it was very, very like surreal. But like the whole day itself didn't feel like the last game in Neville for the whole team. It was just like another game. There's no like in outstanding.
When do you think that's going to set in? Because, I mean, it may take a while, man. It may be before the season's over or when the season's over, a couple of months. I don't know. When do you think that's going to set in for you that, yeah, I mean, there's a handful of guys that won't play there anymore?
Yeah, I have no idea. It might set in as soon as, you know, the season's over. You know, hopefully the season's over with a win, ends the win. But you know, if not, you got to take it on the chin and just realize that we contributed something great.
Dylan Cardwell joining us here as we start the show today for Tiger Takes here on ESPN 106.7. Who are some of these teams and maybe even some of the players that are going to be competing in this SEC tournament this week, Dylan, that has your attention and has the attention of the coaching staff and the entire team?
Well, pretty much everybody on our route. You know, obviously, we're taking it one day at a time, though. So, you know, South Carolina, Arkansas for right now. Thankfully, we have a bunch of coaches to scout different games, but, you know, the team and I's main focus right now is where we would have this first round.
Does it help that with a team like South Carolina, like Arkansas, and I mean, all of these teams that you're going to play, that you've seen them at least once? I mean, if you get to a championship game, you would see possibly Alabama for the third time this year. But whoever you play, either South Carolina or Arkansas, those are two games that, Dylan, you guys won pretty handily back throughout the regular season. So how can you use that if you play which either one?
Well, I think the problem is you can't use that because, you know, we play as well as basketball as we could for both of them. And, you know, to play that well all the time is unrealistic. And so I hope it doesn't put in these guys' head that, you know, all we have to do is show up and win and it's not going to happen. And so I think, like, the only team that blew out South Carolina this whole year, they played every other game close. They actually, in my personal opinion, shouldn't have lost many games. Not that they're that good, but the games they lost were all single digits. And so it's kind of like rat poisoning, per se, to blow these teams out. Because you look at it and you're like, dang, we played our best basketball. Wow, this team played the worst. You know, we haven't seen Arkansas since the first game of the SEC. That was, you know, the beginning of the year. Right. You know, they're a whole different team, a whole different lineup, a whole different game scheme. So it's just interesting. It'll be interesting to see how we come out tomorrow as far as, you know, how different these teams are as well. Because, like I said, we play these teams, you know, when they weren't at their best.
Well, everybody agrees, I think, that when you and your team play at your best, there are not many teams that can hang with you. And we've seen that when you guys played South Carolina, when you played Arkansas. When you guys go out and play your best, there's not many teams that can run with you. How does your team this week, Dylan, how do you guys play your best basketball and ensure your best chance to make a run to Sunday to try and win an SEC tournament championship?
One day at a time, take one day at a time. Control, that's really all you can do. So hopefully we can control our physicality, our attention to detail, our focus, and our competitive spirit, you know. And just realize that, you know, we can't control our shots. We can't control we can barely control our turnovers, you know what I'm saying. But as long as we control the controllables, we'll put ourselves in position to win these games.
Something you and I have talked about a lot this year is the depth of this team and how nobody's playing more than 25, 28 minutes, man. That's got to come in and be a huge benefit to you guys and your health and how you're feeling and your strength and your energy in a week like this where you could play numerous games in numerous days.
Yeah, it is. It's going to prove to be our benefit the rest of this year. So, like I said, survival of the fittest and our guys feel good. And it's all a tribute to our depth.
Dylan Cardwell joining us live from Nashville. Anything you guys are doing outside of the games? I know you're focusing on the matchups and going to scout a little bit, but anything on the game plan outside of basketball?
Sleeping.
Hey, man, I completely understand. Well, look, good luck to you guys. I know we got to let you go. You're going over to Bridgestone right now watching Arkansas and South Carolina. Look, man, glad you guys made it there safe. Good luck this week. Safe travels back. We'll all be here rooting for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Oriole.
That's Dylan Cardwell joining us here to start off the Thursday edition of On the Line. He's with Bill and Dan every Thursday for Tiger Takes right here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of that or just now catching that or you want to listen to it again, that interview will be played during the drive this afternoon at 5:30 for the normal Tiger Takes segment. So with some time conflictions, his very busy schedule, we were able to get him in and get that started for the show today. So I'm glad you were able to be here and catch that. Dylan Cardwell from Auburn Basketball joining us on the phone lines. Man, we appreciate him doing that. And it's a busy, busy schedule for those guys up in Nashville. And a game that just wrapped up, the LSU-Mississippi State game, the Dawgs in a back-and-forth battle, pull away late, and Mississippi State beats LSU in Nashville. We'll go ahead and take an early break. We'll come back. We'll kind of get everything going again. Talk about that game. Talk about the games from last night, looking at the ones coming ahead as well. Early break here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. We'll come back. Phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. We'll have the Thursday edition of On the Line continue after this.
The Line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Appreciate you being with us. Took a little bit of an early break there separating. We just had Dylan Cardwell join us from Auburn Basketball, the center for the Tigers. They're up in Nashville, and they were getting on the bus heading to Bridgestone Arena. They're going to go watch Arkansas and South Carolina. Dylan normally joins the drive with Bill and Dan on Thursdays at 5:30, but with some time conflictions, we were able to get him on to start our show. So if you missed it, you can listen to my podcast, or you can listen live at 5:30 for Bill and Dan on the drive. So we appreciate Dylan Cardwell joining us to start off the show. Lots of things going on today. SEC tournament is active. Had some games last night we're going to get to in just a second. All sorts of basketball games going on as we speak. As we were going on the air, games were ending. More games will be going on as we go throughout the show today. And coming up at 2:30, we'll still have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's on the road en route to Nashville himself, not for basketball. He'll be on the call for Auburn baseball this weekend. If you remember that the Tigers are taking on Vanderbilt on the road to start their SEC schedule, so no easy tasks there. So a lot of things going on in Nashville this weekend for Auburn Athletics. Phone lines are open for this bigger, longer segment, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on what happened last night? Your thoughts on what just took place a few minutes ago, Mississippi State taking down LSU 70-60 in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Mississippi State moves on. They'll play Tennessee tomorrow in the SEC tournament. How about those games last night? The opening games, while, again, they were not the sexiest of teams by any means. Their records were not all that great. But I think the games ended up being good. Were they the prettiest games of all? No, not really. But you started off the SEC tournament with an overtime game thanks to a buzzer beater by Vanderbilt to get it to overtime because they blew it against Arkansas, who had one of the worst first-half offensive performances you'll ever see. They were down 41-27 to that Arkansas team, or to that Vanderbilt team in the first half, and then the Razorbacks caught fire and scored 51 points in the second half. Had it won, Vanderbilt made a shot at the buzzer, sent it to overtime, but Vanderbilt just couldn't finish it out in the overtime period, losing 90-85. And something that I thought should have been done, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, finally happened today. Jerry Stackhouse has been relieved of his duties at Vanderbilt after losing last night in the SEC tournament. And I thought to myself last night watching that, I said, you know, at some point this guy's got to be coaching for his job, right? At some point we got to think about making a change up there in Nash Vegas. And they did. They eventually made the change. It was an experiment that went on way too long and just didn't work. And best of luck to him, and we'll see what happens with Vanderbilt. But Arkansas stays alive. They move on, and they play South Carolina today, coming up in just about, I don't know, about 15 minutes or so. And the winner of that, of course, takes on Auburn tomorrow in the SEC tournament. And then the nightcap, the second game of the SEC tournament, the winless Missouri Tigers in the SEC taking on a Georgia team that had pretty much given up at the end of the season. It's 31-30 at the half, right? Georgia, they're up by one. Missouri played terrible, but they're in it. They're in it the whole way. Georgia didn't play good either. And then Missouri jumps out to a lead. And Missouri's up by seven, by eight, by nine. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm a genius. I'm a genius. I picked Missouri, and they're going to win. They're going to do it. And then they blew it. They did exactly what we expected them to do. They blew it. They let Georgia come back after horrible passing, terrible turnovers, ice cold, and a group of Division I SEC basketball players couldn't make a layup if their life depended on it. Had three chances on the last possession, and they couldn't do it. I don't know which one of you talked me into Missouri yesterday, but I blame you. I don't know who it was. I had Georgia, and I flipped it. I blame my producers, man. I blame them. I had Georgia picked. I wrote it in on my bracket yesterday, and I scratched it out and picked Missouri. Unbelievable. They should have won. They definitely should have. They should have picked. They should have won. They just blew it. And congrats to Georgia. You get a date with Florida. I think that's going to be a bloodbath today. But I know the games themselves may not have been great, but the results were awesome. I mean, tuned in at the very end, and it could have gone either way. What more could you ask for? You had a great game just now in Mississippi State and LSU. LSU was up by seven at the half, 29-22. And then a 48-point performance in the second half by Mississippi State. And they go up and win 70-60. Arkansas, South Carolina about to get underway. Says 2:30. We'll see what the official. They say 17 minutes according to the TV. So that'll go on about 2:35, 2:37, somewhere in there. Then I think the game of the night is Ole Miss and Texas A&M. 6 o'clock on the SEC Network. Really, really excited about that one. Even though A&M beat that Ole Miss team by a lot in the regular season finale, I think Ole Miss comes to play in that one. Will come down to the wire. And then Georgia, just they're not going to have anything for Florida. The Gators are favored by 8.5. Hammer it. Smash it. Smash it. If you're out there, Andy, take it. Florida, 8.5. I think they win by double digits tonight. Other games going on around college basketball yesterday and more importantly today. You did have some teams punch their ticket last night to the NCAA tournament and a couple of their conference finals, which I know is kind of crazy, but hey, well, and how about this? I think the biggest result of the evening was Cincinnati taking down Kansas, and not just taking them down, blowing them out in the second round of the Big 12 tournament, 72-52. Now, you got to read into that a little bit more. Kansas was shorthanded, very much so, without two of their best players, including Hunter Dickinson. So keep that in mind. But that Kansas team is just not it, man. I don't believe in them. Even when they do have their guys, I don't believe in them. And they get knocked out early of the Big 12 championship, or the Big 12 tournament, I should say. ACC tournament continuing on. USC gets it done again. They're moving on. They beat Washington last night. They are off and running. That TCU team beat Oklahoma 77-70. That's a TCU team fighting their way into the NCAA tournament, trying to anyway. How about McNeese beating Nichols to get to the NCAA tournament for the first time? That's a McNeese team, ladies and gentlemen, that is 30-3. Yes, 30 points, or 30 wins, excuse me, 30 wins on the season. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. I don't care who you are. I don't care what league you're in. And I don't care what opponents you play. If you have 30 wins in a basketball season, that's absurd. And you may be wondering, Jacob, why are you talking about McNeese? Who cares? Well, first of all, they got to the tournament for the first time. But do you remember who their head coach is? Do you know who's coaching McNeese right now? It's a guy by the name of Will Wade. You remember that name? Guy that got in trouble at LSU. Big time trouble. NCAA trouble. FBI trouble. That guy? Yeah. He's at McNeese and just took them to their first ever NCAA tournament. You can't tell me he's not a hot topic, a hot pick for a head coaching vacancy somewhere at Louisville. Other games going on last night that you saw that had some big results. Teams moving on in their conference championships and conference tournaments. So much fun, man. So many games. Had some Big Ten games going on last night. You had New Mexico win last night. How about Kansas State beating Texas 78-74? I saw somebody ask this question. Is Texas a tournament team? I don't know if they are. And that's a Kansas State squad that's doing everything they can to get in to the NCAA tournament. So, really good games last night. We talked about the SEC games, and they went all the way into the late night. Coming up today, some games that have already completed. We talked LSU, Mississippi State. You've got other SEC games going on tonight. This is when you really start getting into it. Today's fun, and tomorrow's even better. When all you get all the big names, all the top seeds of these bigger tournaments getting involved in some of these games. You've got USC Arizona going on right now. You have Maryland Wisconsin going on right now. St. John Seton Hall is playing right now. So many great games for today. But man, that Arkansas-South Carolina game coming up in about 15 minutes, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I know that we're all going to be locked into it. I'll give you updates as we go out through the show today. But everybody's going to have their eyes on this one because the winner plays Auburn tomorrow. And it comes back into the conversation. Okay, Arkansas's got a game under their belt. Right, I talked about this earlier on Doug's show. Arkansas has already played that game. They've got the hardest one done. Any coach will tell you that. The hardest game to win in the conference tournament is the first one. And Arkansas did it. It wasn't pretty. It was as bad as it gets. But they still won. And now they're going into a game with South Carolina, a team that has not played since last Saturday, a team that is really set on their defense more than anything, and they're about to play an Arkansas team that found something in the second half. Now, South Carolina, in their last game against Mississippi State, they scored 93 points, and that's not bad. And we know Arkansas can give up the points. That's a team that couldn't stop a toddler if they needed to. But they can score with anybody. And I just don't know, what to pick here. I picked South Carolina, I think. I think I picked South Carolina in my bracket. Is that right? Okay. I picked South Carolina to beat Arkansas. But what happens if they don't? What happens if Auburn has to play that Razorbacks team tomorrow? I've been asking you this all week. Who would you rather see? Who would you rather play, Arkansas or South Carolina? Some people said Arkansas because of the fatigue factor. Others said South Carolina because of the matchup. Some people said, I don't want to see Arkansas because of how talented and scary they are. That's me. And maybe you don't want to see South Carolina because of how good their defense can be. But I think Auburn could beat either one of them. They've done it already. And they blew him out of the water. But you heard Dylan Carnwell talk just a little bit ago as we started the show. He said, you can't use anything that we did in those first two games. And I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right. That's a great way to look at it. You can't use what happened against Arkansas in the first game of the SEC regular season back in January 6th. That was over 2 months ago. And both of these teams are playing differently than when they did in that game. And I think you can make that argument the same way for what Auburn did to South Carolina. When the Gamecocks came here to Neville Arena and Auburn beat them by 40, 101-61, back on February 14th, exactly a month ago. Those two games, while I'm not going to go out and say they were an anomaly because I think Auburn is the better team than both of them by a lot, but you get either one of those on neutral floor with Auburn, I don't know if they're beating South Carolina by 40 or Arkansas by nearly 30. I think that would be insane for us to think that. Not saying they can't do it. I just think it'd be a little crazy to expect that. And so I think it's really good to hear that this Auburn team is not worried and not focusing on what they did the first time around. They are going into it with fresh minds, fresh hearts, fresh bodies, which is nice. And I think if Auburn just plays their way, they're going to win. Play through Jahni Broome, your second team. Play through him on both ends of the floor. He's all defensive team for a reason. Allow him to do his thing. And now's the time for the guard play to step up for Auburn. Now is the time for Aiden Holloway to turn it on. Now's the time for Denver Jones, who has been getting hot down the stretch, to continue that way of play, to continue being the best three-point shooter on the team, which he was not for a long time, but he is right now. And he has been a knockdown shooter for Auburn in the last 3 weeks. Now's when you want to see Chaney Johnson throughout his entire growing process this season, because it's been a growing process, there's no doubt. And there's been some growing pains. But I really think he's starting to come into form a little bit with the pace of play, the things he's expected to do, the things that Auburn needs him to do. And I think that's where you have to see. That's what you want to see right now. That's where you want to see Chad Baker-Mazzara, right? You want to see Chad Baker-Mazzara step in, hit some shots, take control, and be that guy when you need a bucket. When you need a bucket, you have to be able to go to him or go to Trey Donaldson or go to KD Johnson, right? You want to go to those guys right now. You've been building for this all year. And if you get it now, you've got a good chance to win a lot of ball games. That starts with tomorrow, either against Arkansas or South Carolina. If you get to play Tennessee or get to the championship game, or even if that's in the NCAA tournament, this is what you've built for. This is March. It's now or never for this Auburn team, and I think they got a good chance to make a run. When we come back, we'll talk to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He'll be joining us on the road heading to Nashville. We'll talk to him about everything going on around Auburn Athletics. That's coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on a busy Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz with you on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. And as we are joined every single Thursday at 2:30, we've got Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us on the phone lines. Brad, happy Thursday, man. How's the drive up to Auburn North?
I love that. Happy Thursday. Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful day. We've got sunshine and a lot of people are on this road. A lot of people are on 65 North headed to Nashville. So we're a little north of Decatur right now, making good time and looking forward to spending the weekend up there in Auburn North.
Well, there's a lot of Auburn athletics happening in the city of Nashville this weekend. Auburn basketball, of course, with the SEC tournament. Auburn gymnastics is also there for the weekend. And then the reason that you were on the way up there, Auburn baseball will be opening up SEC play on the road there in Nashville, taking on the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yeah, a top 10 team, a team that will challenge Auburn's infield. They'll run the bases. We'll try to steal home just as much as they'll try to steal second. I mean, they're just really, really active. And Tim Corbin, one of the best coaches in this league, in the history of the league. And turf field. I mean, there's all sorts of adversity that Auburn will face for the first time this year in Nashville this weekend. But I tend to think, Jacob, I look at first conference series, no matter how talented the opponent is, it's more about Auburn. You know, these newcomers that have, you know, acclimated to this level of baseball for the first month kind of ratchets up even more. Can they hit Vanderbilt pitching? Can Weiss and Mainers and Paul and Hernandez and Fabian, these guys who this is the first time they're asked to do it consistently, can they hit consistently this weekend? Can Auburn maintain its patient approach at the plate? Can they draw walks? Can they swing at strikes and take balls this weekend? I think those are the big keys whenever you make that jump into conference play.
Well, last weekend was a roller coaster ride for Auburn baseball when Austin Peay came to town. Walk off on Friday, just a disaster really on Saturday, and then a thrashing on Sunday to take down Austin Peay last weekend. Got the midweek win over Troy, did Auburn baseball, and now they head up to Nashville to take on Vanderbilt. Starters have been announced, Brad. Chase Alsup Friday, Carson Myers Saturday, Joseph Gonzalez on Sunday. How do you feel about that starting rotation this weekend?
Well, I think that's awesome. I think it's excellent news that Joseph is ready to be back in the starting lineup. It would not have surprised me if they had had Joseph come out of the bullpen and maybe started a Cam Tilley. It won't surprise me if they limit Joseph Sunday and Cam is the guy out of the bullpen, or you know, we'll see how they decide to play it. But I think that's a really positive sign if he's ready to go give it a shot back in the rotation. The last time that Joseph pitched against Vanderbilt, it was a complete game victory. And I think it was Auburn's last complete game 2 years ago. So that is terrific news. You know, that means he's not 70%, 80%, but they're 100% confident with him going out there and pitching on an SEC weekend. So I like that. And then, you know, also Ben Myers have been steady in the rotation throughout conference play. I also think that in the win over Troy, you saw the three relievers that figure most prominently in the weekend plans, maybe aside from Cam Tilley, in John Armstrong, Will Cannon, and Tanner Bauman, and they were all super effective against Troy. So going into conference play, not only is your starting rotation set, but the guys out of the bullpen that you're going to ask to be the front line, they're the ones who pitched. They pitched at a high level. They were locked in heading into conference play.
And one thing that I know I'm super excited about, and I know Auburn fans are as well, not just on the pitching side, but the hitting side, to see if Cooper McMurray and a guy like Ike Irish, can they continue just this hot piece of hitting that they've been on when SEC play begins? Of course, the pitching steps up a little bit, but, man, those guys are just so much fun when they step in the batter's box.
Yeah, consistently now over the weekend, you're going to see fastballs at 93 miles an hour, and you're going to see SEC-level sliders. Now, I think that Auburn has played – Auburn this season plays the toughest schedule in the country. Last weekend against Austin Peay, that's a high-quality opponent. UConn is a quality opponent. Mm-hmm. Auburn played quality opponents in Jacksonville, having already seen Iowa and Virginia. So this won't be the first exposure to this level of pitching, but it is it's consistent when you get to this level. Now, Auburn's been very good getting into bullpen, so I think in all of these games, if you don't have a lead, if you don't chase the starter from the game, can you be hanging around? Can you be within a run or two when the starter leaves and maybe do some damage late? Yeah, guys like Ike Irish and Cooper McMurray and Bobby Pierce, who we hope to see back in the lineup this weekend, those are the veterans. Those are the guys you look to come through. But what about guys who are seeing it, kind of what I said at the beginning, for the first time, a Mainers, a Weiss, a Hall, you know, a Hernandez, if he's back in the lineup at second base, a Fabian who saw it at Florida last year but didn't play every day against it. So, you know, these are the guys that Auburn is counting on, so they're going to have to be able to hit that consistently high level of pitching.
Auburn baseball on the road at Vanderbilt this weekend. First pitch set for 6 o'clock tomorrow, 2 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. And on a programming note for those here locally in Auburn, Opelika, tomorrow the basketball and baseball games will both be over on Wings 94.3. And then the weekend will depend on the result of Auburn basketball in Nashville. So it could be either Wings 94.3 or a local-only broadcast on AU100. So we will update you as well as the Auburn Sports Network. Talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. Speaking of basketball, Auburn getting going tomorrow in Nashville, awaiting the winner of Arkansas and South Carolina. Just tipped off about a minute and a half into it, Brad. Should be a really good week there in Nashville.
Oh, it's tremendous. So just the three-game sample size that we've had already, you've had three comeback winners, right? Like the three teams that led at halftime are 0-3. You have three single-digit games, so no blowouts in the first three. Now, Maybe it goes against that trend the rest of the way, but I don't think so. This is as competitive as I've ever seen it. I think there's six teams that have a legitimate argument that they could win the thing. I don't know the last time we've gone into it where you thought six teams had a legitimate chance. So without having to talk you into it too significantly. So I think it's going to be a wild, wild weekend. I love it. I'm certainly hoping that all of our baseball games Saturday and Sunday are on AU 100 because that means basketball is still going at it. But I love all the potential matchups for Auburn. I can pull something out of every single potential matchup where the Tigers have a chip on their shoulder and something to prove. And Bruce Pearl's teams tend to be very good when they are the hunter, when they have a chip on their shoulder and something to prove. So I'm really excited to see this team this weekend.
Well, I would love to hear what your thoughts are on the potential matchup between either Arkansas or South Carolina, two teams that Auburn saw early and then in the middle of their SEC regular season schedule and wasn't even close. An almost 30-point win over Arkansas and a 40-point win over South Carolina. I just talked with Dylan Cardwell earlier in the show at the start it off, and he said they're not taking anything from those first two games going into their matchup tomorrow. What do you think about whoever Auburn plays tomorrow, what they would have the advantage of?
Well, you either have, or are you asking where Auburn would have the advantage or where they find the chip on their shoulder in those games?
We'll go with chip on their shoulder in those games.
Okay. All right. If Arkansas beats South Carolina, that gets Auburn's attention immediately. Now, Arkansas would have won two straight games. I guarantee BP will highlight the fact that they should have beaten Alabama in Tuscaloosa to close the regular season. They should be on about a three-game winning streak. But they've already won two games in the tournament. He and Musselman have let's call it a healthy professional rivalry. There's going to be a chip on the coaching staff's shoulder that'll get passed down to the team for sure. And, you know, you put their backs against the wall. You go, this team would love to erase that first game of the year and let that be the motivation. For South Carolina, it's the SEC Coach of the Year. And Lamont Paris. And, yeah, the two times that Auburn has faced South Carolina the last two seasons, I do think the matchups favor Auburn against South. It's like stylistically, the stuff they run offensively and the way they defend, I think it lends to Auburn's advantage. But, you know, you got a team that was right there in the mix for an SEC championship going into the last week of the regular season, and you're facing the SEC Coach of the Year. So in either of those matchups, there's motivation to be had.
Auburn fans are looking for this Auburn basketball team, Brad, to overcome some of the recent struggles in Nashville for the SEC tournament. It's only been a couple of times, but it just seems like it speaks so much louder when we get back here because Auburn trying to make a run in the SEC tournament, maybe even boost a resume a little bit more to try to get a bump in the seed lines for the NCAA tournament as well with Selection Sunday. Is there any chance you think Auburn could move up one seed line on Selection Sunday if, let's say, they win it all?
That's a good question. I doubt it because most of the projections I've seen have Auburn on the four line.
Mm-hmm.
And to move up, all right, then you got to look at what teams that are on the three line are doing this week. You know, look at a Baylor and you know, Iowa State out of the Big 12. Maybe Kentucky is on that line as well. Well, what are they going to do? Does Kentucky lose tomorrow? Do they lose in the quarterfinal round? If that happens and Auburn wins, maybe you make the case. But, you know, to move up a line, that means somebody's got to move down. And most of those teams that are on the three line are projected to go at least to the semifinal round of their conference tournament. And if they lose in the semifinal round, that likely means quality team. And you're not going to bump them off the three line for losing to a quality. I think we've seen conference tournament results matter less and less over the course of the last decade, and I just don't know. I think if Auburn wins the tournament, it'll mean a championship. It'll mean a banner. It'll mean a ring. And that's the prize. I think the seed line, I'd be surprised if the seed line gets affected if Auburn goes 0-1 or 3-0 this weekend.
we've talked about this a few times, and as we get into the postseason, I need the Brad Law X-Factor player for this Auburn basketball team, for this team to have the most success in this week in the SEC tournament and starting next week in the NCAA tournament. Who is the guy that has to step up, whether he's been there all season long or hasn't done a whole lot? Who is that guy have to be for Auburn to be at their best?
I think it's Denver Jones. I think it's Denver. I think that what you saw – now, you're not going to get seven threes a game out of him. If you do, A-Day is going to run into complications because Auburn's playing in the Final Four, but which would be fine with everybody. But I think his ability to knock down outside shots opens up and balances the offense at a whole nother level. Teams can't – so Georgia, but Georgia's an example of this. Georgia double-teamed. They face-guarded. They fronted Jani almost every time down the floor. He only had 10 shot attempts in the Georgia game, fewest that he had had in about a month. But it opened things up for Denver to get more because they, as you collapse in the paint, it opens somebody up on the wing, and Denver made the shots. So if he's able to get open and knock down open shots, now you can't double-team the post, and that makes Jalen and Jani and Dylan and Chad, when he drives, all those guys become – much more effective with what they can do. You love one-on-one matchups with Jalen and Jani specifically. So that's why I say Denver is the X factor in the postseason.
I like it. And look, if he starts hitting seven threes a game, you're absolutely right. We're going to have to move a broadcast for A-Day because Auburn will make a run if he's doing that sort of thing in the NCAA tournament. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on the show. He's on the road heading up to Nashville, as is everybody who will be around Nashville this weekend for Auburn Athletics. Give us an update with Tiger Talk tonight. Be in studio, correct? Got a couple of guests there with the Tiger Talk. I know everybody's kind of moving and on the road, so give us an update there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, credit to Andy Burcham and Britt Bowen. It's been a team effort this week to pull together various interviews and get them ready for the show. We've got some terrific updates from Butch Thompson. He'll preview the baseball weekend. Andy and I talked to Bruce Pearl earlier this week, and you'll hear that tonight on the show. Plus, Britt talks things over with Coach Jay. Women's basketball waiting its NCAA tournament fate this weekend.
Yes.
And softball coach Mickey Dean, home conference schedule opens this weekend against Arkansas at Jane B. Moore Field. So all of that is coming up on the show tonight. It is not a live show. So we thank everybody for giving us grace in that department because we are all, like you said, everybody's traveling this weekend. So, we got together, team effort to pull it off. Really good info, though, in those interviews tonight.
That'll be 6 o'clock over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com for you here locally in Auburn and Opelika. Yeah, you guys are pulling it together, making it happen, and do such a wonderful job with so many moving parts with the Auburn Sports Network. Brad Law, he joins us every Thursday at 2:30 talking about everything happening around Auburn Athletics. Plug where people can find all the updated information with all of those moving parts this weekend.
Yeah, AU Sports Network on your social medias, on X and Instagram specifically. Broadcast info is there, preview videos, things like that. And then just, you know, the various sports accounts on social media, AuburnTigers.com, they'll keep you updated on game times and things of that nature. So, tune in on Wings 94.3 tomorrow for baseball and basketball, and then keep it locked where you get your Auburn info to find out where the baseball broadcasts will be this weekend.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brad. Hey, safe travels to and from Nashville for you and everybody involved, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Jacob. War Eagle.
That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Everybody heading up to Nashville for Auburn baseball, Auburn basketball, Auburn gymnastics, and some hanging around for softball. And then, as he mentioned, women's basketball waiting on their fate for Selection Sunday as well. So, look, if you have a chance to be in Nashville, or if you're a listener in Nashville or in Birmingham or wherever the heck you are, get to Nash Vegas. That place is going to be awesome this weekend with basketball, baseball, and gymnastics. No reason, if you're around there, to not be taking it all in. And as he said, and as I said a few times as well, we will update you on all the broadcast schedules and updates when it comes for basketball and baseball between Wings 94.3 and AU 100. That's 100.3 on your radio dial. That's where all of that's going to live. It really just depends on the results of Auburn basketball. We hope that they run all the way to Sunday. And as Brad said, we hope that baseball is on AU 100 this weekend. So we will update you as we go. We'll take our final break here in hour number one. Come back, give you an update on this Arkansas-South Carolina game, and get into hour number two here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Been a busy hour number one here during On the Line. We started off with Dylan Cardwell back in hour number one, who, again, he joins Bill and Dan every Thursday here during basketball season for Tiger Takes. But with the busy schedule up in Nashville, they're actually at this game right now, the Arkansas-South Carolina game. So he's unable to go live with them, so he was able to go live with me. And we're going to use that later on today. They will use that on their show at 5:30. So if you missed that, you can tune in at 5:30 on the drive, and we will have that for you, or they'll have that for you, and you can tune in and listen to that. We also just got off the phone with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. So he had a lot to say as he was on the road to Nashville. Auburn baseball opening up with Vanderbilt to start SEC play. He'll be on the call for that all weekend long. Auburn basketball in Nashville. Auburn gymnastics in Nashville as well. Crazy stuff going on in Auburn North. Coming up in hour number two, we're going to keep talking basketball. Chris Gordy's going to join us from Locked On SEC. Really excited for that. Updates on this Arkansas-South Carolina game. All knotted up at 17, just about halfway through the first half. And apparently, what I was being told, that is, if you are, unless you commit, you know, basically just commit a felony, you're not going to get a foul call in this game, which is pretty crazy. But we'll keep you updated on that because, of course, Auburn plays the winner of this Arkansas and South Carolina team. Another game that's going on that I wanted to update you on, TCU is currently playing Houston in the Big 12 tournament right now, and it's not going real well for the Horned Frogs. They did not score their first points of the game until 10 minutes and 20 seconds into the first half. Yes, it took them almost 10 minutes to score their first points. They're trailing 18-6 to the number one team in the country with 7:50 to go in the first 20 minutes. Unbelievable. Do not turn that game on. Let me tell you, don't you worry. I'll update you on that one. It ain't pretty. Don't turn that on. But stay right here on ESPN 106.7. Hour number two coming up. We'll talk more basketball. We'll talk a little football. We got some news for that today as well. And then Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, will join us. Phone lines are open. Come on in and join me. 334-321-1390. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on just another beautiful day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Hour number two is underway, which means hour number one is in the books. If you missed any of it here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, you can find the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just search On the Line, or you can go to our station website at ESPNAU.com. Very busy hour number one. We actually started the show right at the 2 o'clock hour. We started with Dylan Cardwell from Auburn Basketball. He joined us at the 2 o'clock hour, normally with Bill and Dan on the drive, but he's got a crazy schedule today. So he hit me up. He said, "Jay Money, man, I gotta get an interview. We got to get this recorded." And I said, "All right, let's do it." So we did it at 2 o'clock. That'll air again in the normal slot, 5:30 on the drive later on this afternoon. So if you missed it, you can tune in for that, and you'll catch it with Bill and Dan on the drive. So that's how we started the show. Then we had some basketball talk, talking about the games from last night and how somebody convinced me to pick Missouri over Georgia, and it almost worked out, but it didn't. And then we talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's on his way to Nashville to call Auburn baseball. We talked Auburn baseball, Auburn basketball, and everything else around Auburn athletics, including Tiger Talk coming up tonight over on Wings 94.3 at 6 o'clock. So that was all in the very jam-packed hour number one. Now we've got 30 minutes, just you and me. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390, whatever you want to talk about. Reactions from last night, reactions to what's going on already today, update on South Carolina and Arkansas. Gamecocks on top by one, 25-24, with just about 6.5 minutes to play in the first half. Winner moves on to play your Auburn Tigers. So we could talk about that here in these 30 minutes, because coming up at 3:30, Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast will be with us, as he is every single Thursday. Lots to talk about with him. College basketball, college baseball, transfer rule being changed. I mean, there's all sorts of things to get to in today's show. 334-321-1390 is the number to get you through to me. We've talked a lot of basketball. I do want to mention some big-time recruiting news for Auburn football. Auburn receives the commitment of a top 24/7 offensive tackle, Tavarus Dice, in the class of 2025. He is from Langston Hughes. We know that pretty well, don't we? He is committed to Auburn as of today. He is a big-time offensive tackle, ranked number 153 in the class, the number 17 offensive lineman, and number 26 player out of the state of Georgia. He was on campus today, and he announced that he is committed to play for Auburn. His quote, and he says, "Got down here early and met up with the coaches." He said after his first visit, he said, "I met up with Coach Hugh Freeze, and I had a really good talk with him about what this program could be, what he's trying to get it to, what he's building here in the 24 and 25 class." So that was good. And he joins Auburn in 2025, a very stacked 2025 class already. He is with Spencer Dolan, who is the other offensive tackle in that class. So look at Auburn going out and recruiting offensive linemen. Crazy thought, right? I mean, it's wild to think that Auburn's actually recruiting high school offensive linemen. It's a rarity in the past for this Auburn program. But he is the number 8 player in the 2025 class committed to Auburn, right? He's the 8th. I should say that a better way. He's the 8th player committed to Auburn for 2025. And that now moves Auburn to number 3 in the SEC. Yes, number 3 in the SEC recruiting rankings behind LSU and Oklahoma, and number 7 in the country for 2025. That's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Number 7 in the country, and Auburn's nowhere near done. There's a lot of room to go. We got a long way to go in 2025, but Auburn sits at number 7 in the country for football recruiting and number 3 in the SEC. Look at Oklahoma being up there. That's pretty impressive as well. But no, all jokes aside, it is nice to see this staff and Hugh Freeze and offensive line coach Jake Thornton going out and getting offensive linemen, recruiting offensive linemen, at least being in the door for offensive linemen. And this guy's a 4-star, one of the top offensive linemen in the country. Like, don't look at the number 153 in the class, because as always, the linemen don't get enough love. He's the 17th ranked tackle in the country. That's strong. That's really strong. And that's a guy that wants to be here. It's another recruit out of the state of Georgia, where Auburn has gone and gotten recruits for its entire existence. And that's a good sign. You can go and get guys through the portal. Sure, that's what we've seen Auburn do for a while. But you've got to recruit the trenches. And that's exactly what Hugh Freeze did the moment he stepped on campus. He said he was going to, and he's done it, and he's still doing it. And this has to get you excited for a non-attractive position, but one that we all want to be good. How many times, how many years have we complained about the Auburn offensive line. Well, if they were just any better, literally any better, Auburn would have won this game or that game, or they would have had this play, or this guy would have been better, or whatever, right? But now you're going out and recruiting these guys, and you're going out and getting legitimate offensive linemen. This guy picked Auburn over Florida, which I know the future of the Florida program is very much up in the air, but that's still a really good place to be. They've got money. They've got facilities. They've got good coaches. And he chose to come to Auburn over Florida. And he said, this is what Dice said after his last visit. He said, man, they loved it. He said they were up here and took a look around campus. He brought his family with him. And he said, they love everything Auburn has to give you, all the opportunities you can have, good football in the SEC. And for my grandmom and mom to get up there and smile like that and have fun with the staff, that was big for me. They maybe smelled it. Maybe they liked the smell. I don't know. But they smiled and said that they had a great time, and that was obviously a big part of his decision to come here. Now, he's still got to get here, obviously, but this is a commitment for the 2025 class. Again, Tavarius Dice, the 4-star offensive tackle for 2025 out of Langston Hughes, has committed to Auburn as of today. Number 17 ranked offensive lineman, offensive tackle, and number 26 player out of the state of Georgia. Big time pickup for Hugh Freeze, Jake Thornton, and this Auburn football staff. Back to the basketball side of things, where you've got SEC tournament games happening last night. You have them. You had one already this morning, and you've got one going on right now inside of Bridgestone Arena between Arkansas and South Carolina. The more this game goes on, the more I really get scared of Arkansas. Like, Brad was telling us about this in the first hour, and he described this in a really good way. He said that Auburn would have a chip on its shoulder if they played Arkansas because of what Bruce Pearl was going to tell them, because that's a hot team right now. That's a really hot team. They should have beaten Alabama in the regular season finale. I'm with you on that one, Brad. They just beat and got their game win last night, right? And now they just beat Vanderbilt last night in overtime. That's not a good Vanderbilt team, but they got an emotional win in the SEC tournament. And now they're fighting with South Carolina. It's 29-28 Gamecocks with 4 minutes to play in the first half. This one, I've got a feeling, is going to come down to the wire. So what happens if Arkansas gets this win? They're going to feel unstoppable. They're going to feel like they could win any game, and they absolutely could. And so Auburn's got to be ready for that if they do play this Arkansas team. I think they match up better with South Carolina. I think they can outscore South Carolina a lot better than they can that Arkansas team. And I know that's how you win the game, is to outscore them. But I'm saying, just back and forth down the floor, Auburn's offense is much better than South Carolina's. It's better than Arkansas's, but it's much better than South Carolina. But what a game this has been. Lower scoring than I maybe thought it would be, but given South Carolina's defense, I think you can understand why. And then other games coming up around the SEC tonight, and then, of course, tomorrow as well, when all the top 4 seeds get going. But some really good ones, man. I can't wait for Texas A&M and Ole Miss tonight. I just think it's going to be a good one. Now, it very well may not be. Texas A&M may do what they did a week ago and just smash Ole Miss. They very well might. A&M currently favored by 5.5 against Ole Miss. Shouldn't it be more? Shouldn't it be more given what they just did a couple of days ago, given what they did the last time these two teams met, the last game these two teams played was each other? You'd think it'd be more than 5.5 for Texas A&M. And I said this earlier, Florida over Georgia tonight by a million. Florida's favored by 8.5. It's probably already jumped since I said it, since I talked about it. And it should. That Florida team is going to destroy that Georgia team. Georgia had no business winning that game against Missouri last night. So excited for the Texas A&M Ole Miss game. Going to keep you updated on this Arkansas and South Carolina game as well. Let's get to the phone lines, though, here in hour number 2, 334-321-1390. Mark, you're on the line. What's up, man?
Good afternoon. Hey, I think Arkansas, you know, last night, the best thing that could happen for anybody playing Arkansas happened was them having to go to overtime in a night game, and then for them to have to come back this afternoon and play a game against a a team that plays defense like South Carolina does. So I look for Arkansas. You know, South Carolina survived that onslaught that Arkansas came with to start the game. But I just think they're going to give Fold down. I mean, not Fold, but I look for South Carolina to pull away in the end of this game.
Well, that's a good point you bring up, that not only did Arkansas go to overtime last night, they're playing a very physical, wear-down type of team in South Carolina with their defense, which is exactly right, where, man, that's a tough 40 minutes of basketball to play. And if it keeps going the way it's going right now, Mark, there's a chance this one could go to overtime, and that'd be extra minutes for that Razorbacks team.
That'd be fine, too. Hey, I just left work not long ago. Did TCU finally score against Houston?
Yes, they did, Mark. It was the 10-minute and 20-second mark in the first half is when they scored their first bucket. Can you believe that?
I know. I saw that, and then I saw Maryland went, like, quite a while without scoring.
Yeah.
At the end of the first half and through the beginning of the second half, that game was like a 35-point game when I left.
Well, here's the update on that. It's 83-49 Wisconsin.
Yeah, they've been cruising since the second half started, really.
Yeah, they have.
You know, I look for Auburn to, you know, I'm like you. I think they match up better with South Carolina, but, you know, I just don't think Arkansas would have the horses to, because they got the unluckiest scheduling in this tournament of anybody. Having to play that night game, which it didn't end till, you know, I don't know what time, but it went to overtime, and then have to come back this afternoon and play a game, and then they would have to play again tomorrow afternoon. So
yeah, well, that's the tough part about playing on that Wednesday night. I mean, if you're in the bottom four of this SEC tournament, man, I think they said this last night, I don't think a team has ever gone coast to coast Wednesday to Sunday and won it all in the SEC. I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, I don't know if they have. And Mississippi State, they get Tennessee, correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah, Mississippi State, okay. After beating LSU, they'll move on and play Tennessee. And then the winner of that game will play the winner of the Auburn game, and they'll play,
Auburn,
of course,
game.
Whoever plays in the or wins in this game. Yep.
Yeah, I think that game probably got Mississippi State in, although I still don't understand how. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't know that they deserve to be in. But they did play four tough games at the end of the season. That wasn't exactly an easy schedule to play.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, winning games in the SEC tournament is says something. And if they beat Tennessee, I think that could be the way to put them in. And, you know, here's my argument to that. They did play a tough schedule down the stretch. Kentucky at Auburn, at A&M, and home versus South Carolina. But the problem is, Mark, they lost them all, right? They lost all of those games. And, you know, you hear people make the argument, oh, we played a tough schedule. It doesn't matter if you don't win. I don't give you anything for playing a tough schedule if you lose all those games.
Well, and you know, that's the argument against Auburn in quad one win.
Yeah, you're right.
Although I think that's the dumbest argument, but because most of the quad one losses were on the road except for one. Which didn't turn out to be such a bad loss after all, the way Kentucky's playing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Have a great afternoon.
Yep, you too, Mark. Thanks so much, man. Happy Thursday to you as well. I know I'm sure I'll hear from you tomorrow and get to wish you a happy Friday. Yeah, you know, you look at Auburn's quad one record, and it we've talked about this before. It's not pretty. It's 1-7. That's not good. Compared to everybody around them, Houston 14-3, that's absurd. Purdue 12-3, UConn 11-3, Arizona 8-3, Tennessee 7-6. The fact that they've played that many, the fact that some of those teams have played that many is unheard of. But Auburn 1-7 in quad one games. And you look at that and you're thinking, wow, that's just not good. And what I consider quad one and quad two, I've said this before, those are tournament teams. That's what those are to me. Quad 1 games are tournament teams. Some Quad 2 are, but mainly Quad 1 are tournament teams because of where you play them, how you play them. But that's something that you have to take into consideration, right? Quad 1 games are top 30 on your home floor, top 50 on neutral site, top 75 on the road. So, yeah, some of those are some misleading numbers on a 1-7 where you played Kentucky at home, but then you went on the road to Alabama, and then you went on the road to Tennessee, and you played on the road at App State, but then, you know, you played an Indiana team that ended up being terrible, but you played them on neutral site, and you played a Notre Dame team neutral site that's not any good either. So, like, you have to take all of that with a grain of salt, and it's not everything, but it is something. And it is something that the tournament committee uses, and it's something that they'll use come Selection Sunday when they come to the Auburn team and they say, okay, where do they belong? Where should they be when it comes to this NCAA tournament? Numbers aren't everything. You know I think that. I'm just not a fan of it. I think Auburn should be higher than a 4. I think they should be a 3, possibly a 2. And if they win the SEC tournament, we'll see if that moves around. Let's get to our first break here in hour number 2. When we come back, we're going to get to the phone lines. Dan, hold on. You'll be first up when we come back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines here once again on the Thursday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, Jacob. Hey, got my favorite March Madness trivia question I was going to give you real quick.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
There's one team in the men's tournament, one team in Division One, that when they make the tournament, the NCAA selection committee is mandated that they play on the first Thursday, the first day of the tournament. Do you know who that is? I will give you that trivia question. But while you think about that, so I saw where Jerry Stackhouse was let go today.
Yes.
With maybe a $15 million buyout.
Yeah, I don't know how much they owe him. I meant to look it up, and I have yet to do it. But, yeah, he's one of those examples of a school paying somebody way too much money to not win games.
Exactly. Well, they're a private school, so they don't have to disclose it. So it's hard to get that information exactly. My question on that is, when they make a hire, do you think it'll be a name we know, or do you think they're going to go for like a Belmont or a Samford? Or a smaller school?
That's a good question, because the Vanderbilt job is tricky. I mean, I relate it to the football position as well, because it's an SEC job, right? It's a top Power 5 job. It's the bottom job in this Power 5 conference, but it is a Power 5 SEC job. And so do they go after somebody that has a name that is relevant, that's maybe an up-and-comer assistant coach, or do they go after maybe an SEC or a coach that's been a head coach before, maybe didn't work out, and then they go after that? My guess is they probably go for a up-and-comer would be my guess, just because it'd be really hard for a former head coach to walk back into a Vanderbilt job, because it's just so tough to win there.
I think I saw already Chris Mack is the betting favorite there.
Interesting. I think that would be
interesting.
I think that'd be a good fit. I really do. I think there would be an interesting Chris Holtman, but he got hired, the fired Ohio State coach, but he got hired earlier today.
Right. Anyway, just throwing that out there, and I'll give you one more hint, and I'll give you the answer. Also, when this team makes the women's tournament, the NCAA tournament committee will not play them on the Friday of the women's tournament. They have to play them on Saturday.
It's got
to
be a religious thing, right?
It is. It's BYU.
BYU. Okay. I was going to say Notre Dame, but I didn't think that was right. So it's BYU. Interesting.
Prohibited from playing on Sundays.
Prohibited playing on Sunday, and then is there maybe a Good Friday reason in there too, or just because of a Friday thing?
No, just prohibited from playing on Sundays.
Got you.
So they'll play Thursday, Saturday when they're in the men's draw, and Saturday, Monday in the women's draw.
How about that? I did not know that.
So there you go. The more you know. Jacob, enjoy the show. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate you, man. 334-321-1390. How about that? BYU. That makes sense. When he said that they had to play in the first round of the men's, I was thinking because it would be Thursday, Saturday, so that way they didn't play on a Sunday. But that makes sense. BYU. Interesting. How about that? And like he said, the more you know. 334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line. What's up?
Hey, bud. Listen, talking about women's basketball. Watched a good game the other day between Nebraska and Iowa.
Yes, the championship game. That was a really, really good game. Nebraska had every chance to do it, but they just didn't have a Caitlin Clark.
You're right. But that's not the reason I'm calling in is something you said the other day that I wanted to bring up with you.
Okay.
About Gonzaga. And you remember what you said about I can't remember what you said.
I think I said something along the lines of they can't even win in their small conference, so why do they deserve to be in a bigger conference?
You're talking about Gonzaga, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you, son.
Okay.
I don't know why they're in the conference they're in. I guess it's just because that's where they're at. But, as far as NCAA appearances, Gonzaga they could hold their own against the big boys. I mean, they got two runner-ups in NCAA, and they got, two Final Fours, I believe. Two Final Fours, two runner-ups, and I don't know, I think it's like eight Elite Eights, six Elite Eights, something like that.
Well, they've made a bunch of runs. There's no doubt about it. They've made a bunch of runs. I just don't think they play a hard enough schedule in the regular season that builds them up and prepares them enough to actually win the national championship, something they've never done.
Well, but the fact that they're good enough to be there. I mean, how many final runner-ups does Auburn have?
None.
How many Final Fours?
Auburn has the one.
Yeah, Gonzaga has two. If you could put them in a conference, if you put them in the SEC, I think they could hold their own. They might even win the game.
But I'll push back on this, Spectre. 68 teams make the NCAA tournament. It hasn't always been that way. A lot of them do. But they also play in a really weak conference where they do win their conference championship more times than any other team. So they get that automatic bid just about every year. And then, yeah, it takes a run, and you got to be good to win games in the tournament, sure. But that's why they get there so often, is because they play one or two tough teams a year, and they just get to the tournament so much.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you there about teams making the NCAA, but to get to where you're in the championship game, that's more than just luck. That's got to be skill.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ain't got much time to talk to you, son, but I just wanted to bring that up because I just really disagree with Gonzaga.
Yeah,
in your opinion about it.
But, that's okay.
That's why we're here to disagree, right?
That's right. That's right.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Appreciate the call, Spectre. Good to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. You got to shut the phone lines down. We're going to get to Chris Gordy in just a couple of minutes. Look, Gonzaga's been a good program for a long time. They've been really good. And Mark Few has been there since the 1999-2000 season. He's been there for going on 25 years. And they've been good the entire time. They made the Sweet 16 the first 2 years he was there, and they've done it a handful of times since. And as Spectre said, they've made the Elite Eight numerous times. They've made it to the Final Four. They've been the runner-up a couple of times. But I firmly believe, and I don't hate Gonzaga by any means. I just don't like it when they get in and they get so much love and then they drop the ball. And yes, making runs in the NCAA tournament is hard. It's very hard, and it does take more than luck. You're absolutely right. I just don't think their conference prepares them to win a national championship. They play St. Mary's every year. That's it. Every now and then, San Francisco will come up and have a dude that can play. But think about if Gonzaga played in what was the Pac-12. I think they maybe would have won a national championship by now, because not only would they have been prepared to win it, I think they'd have even more talent than what they've had in the past. And they've had some good players go through that program under Mark Few. I just think that's where they stand. And now that the Pac-12's disappearing and everything's changing, they're going to move eventually. And Gonzaga will win one. I just don't think their conference helps them out any. That's my thoughts on Gonzaga. No personal feelings against them whatsoever. That's just kind of how I break that down with the Zags. Coming up, we'll talk to Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. We'll talk all things Southeastern Conference basketball, baseball, maybe even a little football as well. That's coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. And as we are joined every Thursday at 3:30 here on ESPN, it's Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Chris, happy Thursday. Are you in Nashville for the SEC tournament this week? Did you make the trip up there?
No, not this week. Had some things I need to take care of this week back home. But talking with some buddies who were there, and they said there was a heck of a turnout at the games yesterday. You know, the Vanderbilt Arkansas game, for a game being in the afternoon, late afternoon on a Wednesday. And I know Vandy's right there in Nashville, but it's not like there's a ton of Vandy fans clamoring for basketball. But it was a big win for Arkansas to kind of keep their slim chance of postseason hopes alive. But no, it's so far everything I've heard is the tournament's been a great success so far, and a couple of competitive games. I know, Mississippi State kind of put it on LSU in the second half today, but, Arkansas and South Carolina close at halftime right now, and some good games coming up later this evening.
Yeah, when the first game of the tournament goes to overtime, thanks to a buzzer beater, you know it's got to be a good one. And that's what happened with that Vanderbilt team. And they had every chance to beat Arkansas. They just couldn't do it. They didn't have the horses or the juice to do it in overtime. And then, look, Chris, I picked Missouri on the show yesterday. Don't ask me why, but I picked them to beat Georgia, and they should have. They had so many opportunities. They just couldn't put it together, and Missouri goes winless in the SEC regular season and in their one shot in the SEC tournament against the Dogs, who now get to play Florida later tonight.
Yeah, it's so hard to do in this conference that, parity is always a thing in the SEC. I mean, you always, even when a team is really bad, like LSU last year, they were really bad, but they still pulled out. I think they beat Arkansas earlier in the year. Like, they, even when you're terrible, you're going to find a way to win one game competitively in the conference. But for Missouri to be a tournament team a year ago and then come back this year and put up a big zero in the SEC win column is just absolutely insane that they weren't able to do anything there. But, hey, that's Missouri's problem to worry about. And good on Georgia, man. I love the chaos. I would love to see a Georgia or an Arkansas go on a run here and win the SEC tournament. I
Stop
think it would
it.
Be hilarious.
Cause
that would
it.
Be and look, it would be great for one of those teams to punch their ticket to the postseason. But I don't think Georgia can do it. But Arkansas, we certainly know, has the talent to do it. They just – Moss is not – like, they've not done what they were supposed to do this year. I mean, you're talking about – what, three straight Sweet 16s Eric Musselman has been to there at Arkansas? And, they had high expectations this year and underachieved. But, man, if they can pull this one out today over South Carolina, like, who knows, man? Arkansas could get hot and make a run.
Yeah, they're down by 3 to South Carolina. Those two teams just started the second half, about 20 seconds into it there in Nashville. Other SEC news around this basketball tournament and the teams in the conference, the very long overdue experiment of Vanderbilt and Jerry Stackhouse is over. They did announce that he will not be returning as the head basketball coach. And, man, what a disaster that's been pretty much the entire time he was there.
Yeah, I kind of called that one earlier in the week. Somebody was asking me if they thought he'd be back, and I said, there's no way. Like, it seemed on paper, it seemed like an awesome move. A guy who had a very accomplished NBA career and, was a two-time All-Star and, all these great things he's achieved in his career. And you just thought, hey, he goes and sits in a kid's living room. He's going to be able to get some recruits and all this kind of stuff. He was, assistant coach of the Memphis Grizzlies for a while. But, yeah, it just never really worked out as head coach there at Vanderbilt. And, had that, I think, his third season, they went 19-17 and then – last year, 22-15, they were 11-7 in the conference. It started to look like, okay, the arrow's pointed upward, but this year, a big, huge step back. We're going 9-23 overall, 4-14 in the conference. And so you got to make a change. And, that wasn't surprising. What was surprising to me, though, was Lamont Paris getting a contract extension at South Carolina. It's not that I didn't think South Carolina would step up to the plate and pay him. I just thought he wasn't going to do it. Like, when you're the hot name, Lamont Paris, go capitalize off of this. And we'd heard some rumblings that maybe Ohio State could have given him a look or some of these other programs that might make a big change at the end of the year. I just thought he could have parlayed this into a jump. But kudos to South Carolina stepping up to the plate, giving him a 6-year contract.
And that's not really a guy that we talked about through the year of possibly leaving, just, I mean, especially preseason, because nobody expected this. And then, yeah, his name started to get hot a little bit here down the stretch. And, yeah, as you said, good for him for sticking around in Columbia and seeing what happens with the Gamecocks. But a guy I've talked about all year, and I believe you and I have as well, is this Eric Musselman from Arkansas. And whether he has 1 foot out the door or not, that seems to have been the feeling throughout the year. And with that Louisville job now officially open, Chris, there's some heat there, maybe a little drama when the season's over.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. And this is where Musselman really needs to, like, he needs to figure out where he wants to be, right? I think if he wants to stay at Arkansas, he can really use this as a chance to go to Arkansas and say, look, I got a chance to leave here, but I believe in what we're doing here, and everybody who turned sour on me this year, like, Let's regroup. It didn't go great, but let's regroup. I mean, because, you know, you talk about the last 3 years making deep tournament runs, like, you know, two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16. Like, we'll just call this year, you know, an anomaly. On the flip side, coaches have egos. And, you know, there's been a lot of negative talk around Mus all year at Arkansas. And you start to get that feeling of being underappreciated because you just had three awesome, fantastic seasons. And then the first year where things don't go your way, suddenly all the fans want to jump ship and call you names and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, some of those coaches get egos and say, the hell with y'all, I'm out of here. So That will be one that will be interesting to see with Musselman. But, yeah, I mean, I've heard everything from, you know, if Kentucky loses in the first round, there's going to be some tough conversations to have with Calipari. And, you know, if they come to some kind of agreement to get Calipari to step aside and, you know, quote-unquote retire, Musselman might be on the short list of candidates for Kentucky. I mean, look, if Kenny Payne been successful at Louisville, he was the name that was really, you know, could have been an heir apparent to Cal at Kentucky, but he was so bad at Louisville. I think he's going to be untouchable for a while. Nobody's going to want to hire him.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's just, how could you? I kind of look at it the same way with Chris Holtman at Ohio State, who just got hired by DePaul today. I mean, that just went downhill so fast in Columbus. And look, DePaul's been bad for a while, and they jumped on that. So you never know.
Yeah, you never know, and we'll see. And again, like, so many of these schools in recent years have had turnover with, you know, some of the legendary coaches, from Roy Williams to Coach K. And, you know, I just look at some of them and you think they're in good spots. And then certainly North Carolina and Duke have been good this year. But, like, those are jobs that, like, the first sign of trouble, you know, some of those coaches, like, it wouldn't surprise me if some of those big-time blue bloods, you know, start opening every 4 or 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, they start going through a revolving door of coaches because they're looking for the next legend that could come in and coach for 20 years.
Right.
So, you know, I just keep an eye on that, because in this ever-changing world of NIL and all that, you're going to see some of the coaches in their 50s and 60s and 70s decide to hang it up and step aside. And you're going to have some big-time jobs open here in the next couple of years. And if you're one of these risers, like, again, like Dennis Gates, like at Missouri,
yes,
you know, he comes from Cleveland State where he makes the tournament and he's awesome. And he goes to Missouri, and he's on top of the world last year making the tournament. And this year, you go winless. I just look at Lamont Paris and go, dude, you were awesome at Chattanooga. You just had this incredible season in South Carolina. This might have been the time to make the jump to another program, because what happens if you're the 0 and, you know, whatever team in the SEC next year? Then people are really looking at you awkward.
Yeah, why stop now? I mean, if the train's got momentum, keep riding it until you hit something. And that's what happened in Missouri. There's no doubt about that. And we'll see what happens with South Carolina, who, by the way, has opened up an 11-point lead on Arkansas, 46-35, with 17 minutes to play in the second half. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. I know we don't know all the potential matchups just yet in the SEC tournament, Chris, but with everything we know right now, of course, Auburn as a 4 seed, you've got Tennessee seeing them on a crash course, Bama, Kentucky on a crash course as well. Who wins the SEC tournament and why?
Yeah, I kind of my initial inclination on Monday when I was looking at the bracket was that the vibe I get is either Tennessee or Alabama. It's not to say Auburn can't. The tournament and how it always plays out, it just feels like it's that team that is just really feeling themselves. And Alabama has just been kind of that team that can, you know, seem to rally around Nate Oates. And they got tons of talent. You know, wouldn't shock me if they go on a little bit of a run here and win the whole thing. But I cannot be impressed with what Tennessee did the last 2 weeks of the season. I mean, that was as great of a run as I think we saw all year in the conference. And I get it. They lose the game against Kentucky. Keep in mind, Kentucky was up big, and then, you know, they were able to close the gap, make it close, and, you know, they couldn't close the door on them. But that loss aside, I mean, the win at South Carolina, the win at Alabama, the home win against Auburn, I mean, it was just impressive win after impressive win, and that's, you know, why Dalton Knecht was named, you know, SEC Player of the Year. And I just feel like the defense that they're playing, Tennessee is going to be a tough team to beat in this SEC tournament. So, again, my initial pick was either Tennessee or Alabama, but, you know, not saying Auburn doesn't have a chance. It's all about who can get hot at the right time and make some big shots.
Chris, want to switch over to football for just a second because, and not even football, this is just in general, we just always go to football when we talk about this topic, but the transfer portal rules have apparently and seemingly been changed again by the NCAA, where if you decide to transfer, doesn't sound like a waiver's needed anymore. You'll be eligible for the next athletic season, man. Kind of help us understand this a little bit better if you've read into this.
Well, as far as I understood it, you know, the whole deal was, you know, they opened the Pandora's box, if you will, on transferring, where it was, you know, like you could transfer and, you know, you'd not have to sit out a year. And they made the ruling last year that, you know, you could play immediately. Well, to me, once you open that door, I don't know how you get it back closed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I saw that they said that they ruled, okay, you know, multiple time transfers won't have to sit out next year, like, yeah, like, I just feel like this is going to keep happening because when do you decide to make the ruling? All right, now if you transfer past this point, now you got to sit out for a full year. Like, I don't know how you're going to be able to enact that again. You know, we'll see. It may come and may happen, but, you know, as we know, the SEC's got the weird rule of, you know, you could transfer inside the conference in the December transfer portal, but not the post spring one. And so that one is very fascinating because you had the safety Jordan Matthews from Texas A&M, who is from Louisiana originally, and his final two schools were A&M and LSU. Well, he entered the portal post whatever that was, January, February. And so, you know, according to the rule right now, he can't transfer in the conference. If he were to go to LSU, which was, you know, one of his top schools originally, he would have to sit out a year. Now, that's a Greg Sankey infused rule. That's not a an NCAA rule. So there's been some talk of maybe the SEC maybe going back and reconsidering that one. But, yeah, as far as I understand, I mean, it feels like we're going to keep this transfer portal thing open for a while. Now, they may choose some different dates. We've heard that that's on the table still. And
That needs to happen, yeah, right now.
Yeah, certainly there could be some change coming that way. But, no, I mean, nobody wants to be the bad guy and tell the guy who's transferred twice already, oh, if you transfer again, you're going to sit out. The NCAA knows the implications that could come from that.
I mean, we're going to see a grad student go six schools in 6 years. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous when this is all said and done. And look, they should have the right to do it, but at some point there has to be some, like, hey, you know, honor your commitment type of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's where – and I proposed this earlier this week. I said that the thing I could see happening – and it would solve some issues with the portal and with NIL is, you know, when players sign collective, you know, deals with a collective, can we make it a binding contract that basically says, look, we're going to pay you whatever you're getting the kid. Let's say you're getting the kid $50,000 a year. Let's say, you know, with this collective agreement, we will pay you $50,000 a year over the next 3 years. But what you have to do in signing this is you have to stay at our school for the next 3 years. I think that was the big thing Nick Saban, you know, pushed him out the door was, you know, he couldn't build the depth chart for the future because, you know, you're basically signing recruits to a one-year deal, you know, that when they could just hit the portal and leave after a season, it's hard to build depth on a roster when, you know, the door is swinging wide open every offseason. So that's the only thing. I propose that. Again, you're going to have a lot of people who are pro players going, you can't handcuff the player and keep him to the school. And it's like, well, you know, look, that's why I say go play for schools. Don't play for coaches, you know, because coaches can leave at any time. But, you know, I just think that is maybe one path to kind of going where we're taking care of the player. He's getting paid. The school's not paying him. The collective's paying him. But, you know, bind him to that school saying, well, if you choose A&M or you chose Auburn,
you're committed and you're staying at Auburn for the next 3 years. And, you know, if you leave, you lose this NIL money and, I don't know, you know, make it where you have to sit out or something.
Yeah, there's just so many moving parts and so many different things that have to be figured out and decided, and there's no one right answer, unfortunately, but something's got to change. I mean, it's a free-for-all in the wild, wild west out there with the transfer portal. Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, your daily SEC podcast. We don't have time to talk about this today. I want to next week, though, when we have you on. Seems like the college football is going to be moving already to a 14-team playoff in 2026, so that's exciting. And this weekend, Chris, I know there's a lot of basketball on, but SEC baseball opens up this weekend. I know you know that.
Oh yeah, it's going to be awesome. We got some awesome series that are going to be happening this weekend, and a lot of really good, you know, a couple of top 10 matchups, a couple of top 25 matchups. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Seeing what everybody does with SEC baseball getting underway, and spring ball underway. We've been doing our spring practice previews over on Locked On SEC, and we got a couple of players coming down the pike that are joining us this week. We had an interview with Arkansas quarterback Taylen Green. I encourage you guys to go check that out because it's all looking like signs pointing to him being QB1 there in Fayetteville. So awesome. Check out Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, man, you beat me to it. You got to plug everything. Check it out, folks, YouTube or your audio, wherever you get it, Locked On SEC. Chris, you do a wonderful job, man. Enjoy the basketball and baseball this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, man, tell Bruce Pearl go win this whole thing so he can make me eat my words next week.
Hey, wouldn't be the first time on my program.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much, Chris.
All right, thanks, man.
That's Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. Yeah, he tells you like it is, and he's eaten his words a few times on here, and he wants to see Auburn win. He does. He's an Auburn guy when he wants to be, and we'd love nothing more than for Chris to come on here, and that you better believe that'll be the first thing I talk to him about next Thursday if that's what happens. But always enjoy talking with him. We got to get to our final break. We have blown by it once again. We'll get to that, our final break, final segment here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. We'll wrap it up after this.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Man, what a crazy day on the show, huh? We flew through 2 hours of the On the Line show today. I mean, we had Dylan Cardwell to start the show. Then we had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Chris Gordy just got done with him from Locked On SEC. Great calls from you. There's so much happening right now that 2 hours just isn't enough. But good thing is, we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll have 2 more hours to talk about all of this with you, talking about the SEC tournament as Arkansas fell behind to South Carolina by double digits, but trying to make a comeback in the last 10 minutes or so there in Nashville. Good thing is the drive coming up. They'll be able to keep you updated on that and tell you officially who Auburn will be playing tomorrow in the SEC tournament. And we will be live during that game when Auburn's playing in the SEC tournament, me and Uncle T-Bone. So we'll be able to keep you updated, talk about it, react to it live as it happens. So lots going on in the basketball world. We mentioned earlier that Auburn picked up the offensive tackle earlier in the 2025 class, Tavares Dice, who is a 4-star, top 17 offensive tackle in the country, brings Auburn up to number 3 in the SEC and number 7 overall. They also picked up a preferred walk-on from Central Phoenix City, Trent Hood. So excited to see that as well. Some big-time names are on campus right now for Auburn football, so keep that in mind. We'll keep you updated as we go throughout the show tomorrow as well. Lots of great content on the show today. If you missed any of it, you can go and find the podcast at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Again, if you missed the Dylan Cardwell interview, we went live with him at 2 o'clock today since his schedule's all sorts of crazy. They got a busy time going up in Nashville. So the Drive guys will be playing that interview at 5:30 today during their show for Tiger Takes, brought to you by Alsobrook Law Group. So that'll be coming up at 5:30. If you missed that on my show, they'll have that for you in the second hour of their show as well. And just so much happening with football and with baseball. You heard me say to Chris Gordy that apparently within the next 24 hours it's going to be voted on that the college football playoff, after just now getting to a 12-team playoff, yeah, they're going to expand it once again. They're going to a 14-team playoff now. Unbelievable. I mean, and there's talks about making the NCAA tournament even bigger as well. They're talking in the 70s, 80s, the 100s possibly. Goodness, man. You know what it's all about. It's about one thing. How can they make more money? Yes, that's right. I know you said it with me. We'll talk some more about that tomorrow. Updates from around college basketball and all of the conference tournaments. Tigers of Auburn play tomorrow. Will they play Arkansas or will South Carolina hold on? We'll have all that for you and more. 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7 tomorrow. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.